brethren who are acting an important part in our institutions. Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. February 10th, 1895. Dear brethren who are acting an important part in our institutions, in the closing up work of this earth's history. I received a letter from Brother Edwards a short time since in explanation of the handling of the mail of Edson White and Brother Palmer. I think I have not responded to this letter. I have felt very sad at times, more so than I can express, in regard to Brother Edwards or those who were his confederates, that you should be so blinded in perception and judgment that you should consider your course right in this unlawful action. But many things that are transacted in the publishing house have been considered lawful that the Lord has registered in his book as unlawful. In this action, you were not laboring in Christ's lines, as it is your duty to do. I should not be a faithful servant should I keep silent in regard to these transactions. When, in the place of seeking to help the very ones who need your help, you pursue a course in word or spirit to hinder human agents, you are doing a work that God has never set you to do. And your danger in this is pointed out in Matthew 18, verse 4, 5. Matters were laid out before me in clear lines one night by the Spirit of God, and I was awakened in alarm for my son. I saw that Satan was tempting Edson fiercely, as he had done in the past, to give up again in discouragement. I wrote at once words of warning and encouragement to strengthen his faith. I was sorry to write some things which the Spirit of the Lord impressed me to give to my son. It was this: that he must not look to those who had years of experience to be his counselors and trust in them, but look to God for guidance. It was not any human agent to whom he, Edson White, was indebted for taking his feet out of the miry clay and placing them on the rock of ages, but to God. If he has not had sympathy and encouragement from those who ought to have felt the burden of his case, but who acted no part in sensing his danger, and who had no travail of soul for his salvation when he was in peril, lost, without hope, without courage, how could he expect that those who made no effort to save the lost should have any special concern in his case? They may view him in a wrong light and feel it their duty to be distrustful and suspicious. To God alone, who had seen his great hopelessness, be all the glory. It was God that spoke to his soul and inspired in him the hope to rely wholly on Christ for salvation. The Lord saw that no one was seeking to save the wandering sheep, and he went in search of him himself. His own arm brought salvation. Then to whom should he look and put confidence in? To men? No, for men can do very strange things. He should look to God and, looking to Jesus, by faith, hang his helpless soul on Jesus Christ. Those who would break the hold of a struggling soul for life and salvation, whatever their position, whatever their work or calling, need to be converted and to become as little children. Else they will never see the kingdom of heaven. If as great efforts had been made to save Edson White as have been made to save souls who had long resisted light and evidence, Edson White would have been rescued long ago. He should not perish in his unbelief and his resistance for years of the Spirit of God. He would have stood on vantage ground long before he did. But human hearts are deceptive. Who can know them? I was compelled to write to Edson not to look to nor trust in any human being. In Jesus Christ, he could put implicit confidence. Lift him up. Profession or position does not make a faithful steward, but a vital connection with Jesus Christ will be evidenced only as he shall be a doer of the words of Christ, as well as a hearer and speaker of that word. The Lord has a work for J.E. White to do. God has wrought for my son. God would have used human agencies if they had possessed hearts, tender hearts of flesh, in the place of hearts of steel. I have somewhat against thee, saith the true witness, because thou hast left thy first love. Repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick. Revelation 2, verse 4, 5. I entreated Edson to open his heart fully to his mother when he was in trouble, but to no others. I shall seek to encourage Edson and his companions. If others feel a zeal to hedge up the way, God will open it if he puts his trust in him. But oh, I have felt so fearful at times that the unchristlike spirit, the lack of true discernment, would place Edson again in doubt, and he would let go the hand of infinite power. My prayers have been to God that he would uphold him. I urged, as only a mother can, that Edson should come to us in Australia. Willie and Elder Olson thought it not the best thing to do, and that he should be encouraged to labor in some field in America. But fearful odds are against him. The dangers were opened before me. The seeking and laboring for the straying, lost sheep is an experience not brought into the life of many of our people. If one errs, he is too often either pushed and crowded down, 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 or left without a soul to work for his uplifting. And the Lord has stretched out his hand to save. God will not always give blessings to those who do not bless. He will not give grace to those who do not impart grace. He will not forgive those who have no spirit of forgiveness. How tender, how sensitive, how sympathetic should those whom the Lord has forgiven much be for those who are straying, who are wounded and bruised by the enemy? Will they unite with the adversary of souls to destroy? Will they work out the very spirit and attributes of the enemy who is forever pleading to use his power upon those who fall into error and do wickedly? Christ said to the Pharisees, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mark 2, verse 17. Please read Zechariah 3. The Lord here represents the work of the enemy, and in contrast, the work of Christ. Satan was accusing the people of God before Christ, and urging that because of their sins he should have permission to exercise his power upon them. Have any of our brethren in Battle Creek felt like trying a hand in the same way against those who they think have made mistakes? And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with change of raiment, the righteousness of Christ. Zechariah 3, verse 1-4. The time will come when those who have had the light of the Word of God and have not brought the lessons of Christ into their practical lives and have not yoked up with Christ and worked with His attributes to seek and to save the lost will need the very help they refused to give to others. The Lord Jesus will judge them as they have judged others and reward them as they have rewarded others. Verse 7. The Lord could do wonderful things through the simple staff that Moses had in his hand. Limit not the Holy One of Israel, for he can work through agencies that may surprise you. There are those who have been chosen of God to do a work and who have not done this work. The Lord Himself will give them His Holy Spirit to cleanse away their sins and purify and elevate them to breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. But they desire nothing of this. They have the same spirit that was exercised against those whom Christ was seeking to save. Can those who would prove adversaries be regarded as laborers together with God? Or are they against the Lord's purpose because it does not agree with their ideas? We have a great many things to learn, and may the Lord help us to learn the lessons which He gave to His disciples, to have the Spirit to leave the 99 in the wilderness and go to seek and to save that which was lost. The illustration is, after the lost sheep was found, it was not brought back with a whip, with scolding and accusing because it made so much trouble. But it was taken upon the shoulder, the shepherd saying at every step as he brings back his sheep, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Luke 15, verse 6. How many assembled together in Battle Creek to rejoice, not that you had found the sheep, for none of you put yourselves to the trouble, the travail of soul to find him. But how many rejoiced in union with the universe of heaven that the great and good shepherd found his sheep that was lost? Has not your course of unbelief, of prejudice, said, to all intents and purposes, "He was not worth saving. We have naught to rejoice over"? But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Far out in the desert he heard its cry, fainting and helpless and ready to die. "Lord, whence are these blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track?" They were shed for one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring him back. "Lord, why are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn." But all through the mountains thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there rose a cry to the gate of heaven, "Rejoice, I have found my sheep." And the angels sang around the throne, "Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own."